Good morning. I was tempted to do bum bum bum. I just every time I hear that. Hey, how's everyone doing? Happy New Year. It's only the second Sunday of the month, of the year. Second Sunday of the year. You're doing okay so far? So good? Okay, four of you. All right. This is gonna be a powerful day. I feel it already. So we're gonna dive right in because I've got a lot of ground to cover, and I want to get to the end. Of our time. You're like, yeah, we want you to get to the end too. No, that's not what I meant. But I want to get to the really some keys that I think are going to help us in this year of 2019. We're in the series, The Power of Habit. And today, habit number two that I'll give you just in just a moment. Last week, though, we talked about that most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. And that's not a very encouraging word because we know we've got to uphill hopes. We learned and we recognize that hope is not a strategy, right? Like, I hope this is a better year. Like, we say that, and it sounds well-meaning, and it even sounds like, hey, yeah, me too. How are you going to do that? I don't know. I just hope it's going to be better. Hope my marriage gets a little better. Hope our finances kind of tweak better, you know, whatever it takes. But hope is not a strategy. In fact, we discovered that everything worthwhile is uphill. So we've got to get those uphill hopes and turn them into uphill habits. And those uphill habits can be difficult and hard, and they may be costly, and they may stretch us. And I really wanted to shape this message today to anyone in the room maybe who's had a dream that has been hidden away in your heart for years, and maybe months, but years, and you've been wondering, like, God, when is this going to happen? Like, when is the purpose for my life going to be? When am I going to realize that? And you've kind of had this, maybe it's tucked away, and maybe there was a day that you used to talk about it to people. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I feel like God's purpose in my life. But now you're maybe a little bit embarrassed because it's been so long, and you don't talk about it anymore. It's just tucked away, and it's buried, and it's hidden. You know it's going to take hard work, but it's on the back burner. You don't feel qualified now. Maybe you don't feel worthy. This message is really for anyone who believes that God has called you to a greater purpose than what you're living right now. Messages for anyone who's stuck, specifically in your thoughts, in your thinking. Maybe there's no traction, no forward movement. But I want to begin with a little bit of hope. How many could use a little bit of hope today? Like good hope, you know, hope. Hope in God's word. That if you're in Christ, you can base your life on his word. In fact, some of the things we're going to talk about today, and you'll hear me say this a couple of times, is not psychobabble kind of power of positive thinking, and we need to have positive thoughts and all of that. But it's grounded, and it's the foundation of it is in God's word. It's all there. But here's a great one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is speaking, and he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. In other words, here's what he's saying. Let me just explain. He's saying that the same weapons that the world uses, or same means that the world uses to confront problems and issues and struggles and setbacks, in Christ, we don't use the same kind of man-made things to sort of fight those battles. We use things like prayer, fasting, worship, forgiveness, grace, and even love. Our weapons are different than the weapons of this world. On the contrary, he says, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, places where you are stuck, places where you feel like you're not getting any traction in your life, places where you feel like the enemy, and there is an enemy, that is just trying to do everything he can to keep you back, shut you up, shut you down. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Now, let me just explain that this way. That there are going to be things that you will face. and that you will do, and you'll do everything within, the enemy will do everything within his power. And those situations and those circumstances will do everything within their power to convince you that the God that you serve is incapable of fighting for you. That the problem that you're looking at and staring at, maybe even in your lives right now, in your circumstance now, is like it's bigger than God. That the storm has even taken God by surprise. Or worse, that you've been forgotten. That God is in heaven, but he's unconcerned about your struggle. Paul continues, he says, we take captive every thought. Would you just say those two words with me? Every thought. Say it again. Every thought. He says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We tell those thoughts that seek to pull us back, keep us down, knock us out of the race, somehow keep us and make us ineffective in our lives. I feel like we're just spinning our wheels, not getting anywhere. Another day, another day. We tell those thoughts who they need to submit to. I like that. That's Paul. So here's the question we get to ask today, and in this, which is the title of this message. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Now, let me just tell you about a little bit about that title. How many know voice inflection is very important? Like, especially if you're a parent, you raise kids, especially boys, which I did. You might ask that question a little different. You might say, what are you thinking, right? What are you thinking? Or what were you thinking, right? So that's not, I don't want you to hear parent, and I don't want like your palms to get sweaty and like start shaking, like, you know, have some kind of moment there, remembrance of maybe when you were raised and you had that question asked of you. But I want to ask it maybe with a little different inflection. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? How are you processing life? How is it going? I'd love to like sit down with each one of you and just, that's a great question to ask. So how are you thinking? How are you processing? How are things going right now? And we could, how many know we could talk for a long time probably about where we are right now with just that question. Someone said, we'll never change our lives until we change the way we think. If you learn how to manage your mind, you can manage your life. So what are you thinking? What are you, how are you processing? Like you, every pivotal moment in my life came when I made a thinking change. Made a thinking change. I was kind of retracing my life like in a one, like four sentences. Answered God's call to ministry on my life. I was a senior in high school, trying to think of why God put me on the planet. And I remember being at a summer camp and just no doubt, God, he was calling me. He wanted me to serve him in active full-time, give my life to ministry. I left home in 19, maybe I better not say the years. That just sounds like a long time ago. Like, did you drive? Yeah. Left home in Southern California, and I went to school in Eugene, Oregon. And no, I'm not a Duck fan. Let's just clear the air right now. And I met Patty there. How many of you know with some pivotal decisions that you make in life, there's a bonus on the other side of that decision if God's in it. Woo! Had no idea what God had in store. Best day of my life. Said yes to ministry together. She said yes to me, my question, like, would you marry me? Yes, she said yes. And we said yes together to ministry opportunities upon completion of our schooling, and the rest is history. These are pivotal moments. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, a wise person chooses the right road, and a fool takes the wrong one. We all want to choose the right road. Just get me on the right road. What does that look like? But sometimes our greatest struggle is going on between our ears, our thinking. So today I want to give us just some common teachings that maybe you would hear out there, and understandings from a very kind of principles of thinking, but then just to, with some theology, and what does that look like, and how does that play out in Scripture? And then I want to give you a word that I think will help as we face 2019 this year. Let me give you the first principle as it relates to our thinking and what are we thinking. The first is this: everything begins with a thought. Now, there's a deep one right there. Everything begins with a thought. And actually, it's deeper than you might see right up front. That the things you're doing well or the things that you're not doing well were fueled by the thinking that happened first. If you're trying to change, here it is. If you're trying to change the behavior before changing the thought, the problem is the thought that fed the behavior, you'll never change the behavior. Let me say it again. If you're trying to change the behavior before changing the thought that fed the behavior, you're never going to change the behavior. It all begins here, right? It all begins with a thought. It makes sense then that, I don't know about you, but I first thing in the morning, I tend to like to want to kind of flip on the news or flip my phone on and just kind of swipe right, and instantly the headlines of the news comes up. And I just like, what wackiness is going on in the world now? You know, and just get caught up, lost in the headlines a little bit, and sometimes even before I get out of bed. And the noise of the day sort of begins right there. Maybe some of you like to check your text messages or your emails, email and your inbox and what's going on. And what happens is when we start the day like that, we really become susceptible to again being affected by the noise of and the clamor of the world. Let me know, we got a full day to worry about that. So I'm wondering if maybe we ought to guard or safeguard what goes into our minds first. That maybe we ought to be careful that first thing, that first viewing. The Bible says, Paul said in Romans, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Listen, let me just say this. God wants to transform your life. He wants to transform you into a new person. And how does he do it? Isn't this interesting? By changing the way you think. God wants to transform you into this new person. He wants to begin to build into your life, but he does it by how we're thinking. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It answers the question, why did God put me on the planet? See, then you will know what God's will is for you. How? When I just fix my thoughts and my eyes and my heart on him. We have thinking errors. I lived for a large portion of my teen and maybe kind of young adult years with some thinking errors. And I was just living it, kind of feeling like it was normal, to where even when I got into ministry, it was easy for me to think and see that God was going to bless the Doyle family. He could bless them and do something in Chris's life and his heart. I could pray for Chris and they just know that, man, God could do that. But me, not so much. And it wasn't that I thought God didn't want it. It was hard for me to receive that I could even ask for that I was even worthy of that. How many know that's a thinking error? Like, God wants to bless you because you're just a better person. Like, I don't feel that great about myself on the inside, but I know God loves you. I knew that. I knew that God loved Chris. But me, it was hard to receive that. And then, so I sat down with a counselor in my early 40s and helped me untangle and helped me go back. It's like, wow, you mean it took you that long? Yeah, it took me that long. I had a lot of faith for a lot of other people. He tied it, helped me kind of tie some things back, went back to my relationship with my dad, you know, kind of one of those father issues. I just had to unbury and think, where was this coming from? And I remember with my dad, I'd go into a little bit of a self-protection mode with my dad. I loved my dad. My dad was my hero. I mean, there was not, I mean, I couldn't have pinpointed it. I wouldn't have said, yeah, he's this, and he did that to me. I just never felt that. But there was this sense as I got older that I just had to protect my heart a little bit because I was recognizing that he would, I give, but there would be nothing in return. So I remember saying to myself, establishing in my heart, you know what? I just need to learn, watch this, not to expect anything from my dad. I thought that was kind of noble. I thought that sort of protects my heart and protects me from getting hurt, right? Getting let down. I didn't want to get let down. But what I didn't see is how I translated and transferred that to my Heavenly Father. That I couldn't expect, and I didn't want to put that expectation on God that He would do something. See, that's a thinking error. And it takes somebody who's loving enough and caring enough about your life to help you unpack that and see those things to where you begin to realize, you know what? No. God's for you. God loves you. You don't have to, Gary, you don't have to perform to get God's approval. Guess what? You already have it. You already have it. You have His approval. You have His love. He wants to bless your life in so many ways. In fact, He already has. And we just began to go deeper and deeper and realize that God was pursuing me long before I ever pursued Him. See, when you have thinking errors like that, what happens is you stop seeing clearly the blessings that are right in front of you. Amen. We stop seeing, and it's not as clear, and I wasn't seeing the blessing of my bride, that God blessed me with this amazing, I always knew I was blessed with an amazing wife, but man, I'll tell you what, on that day, and as I walked through that process, I began to see it all the more clearly. God, you must really think I'm something to give me a bride like that. Come on, somebody. You must really be for me if you bless me with kids like the ones you blessed me with. You blessed me with daughter-in-law and a son-in-law like you blessed me with. Then you blessed me with grandkids. And all of a sudden it begins to be a little, see, we've got to be careful of the thinking errors. Everything begins with a thought. Second principle is this: our feelings are determined by what we're thinking. Our feelings are determined by what we think determines how we feel. Our feelings and our thinking are inextricably connected. That our thinking, it's important to get this, I'll say it another way, our thinking is at the epicenter of this principle of how I feel. Kind of, I'm feeling at the moment that it's not your spouse, right? It's not your spouse, it's not your boss, it's not the economy. We might point at those things and say, oh, well, you're the why I feel this way. No, it's your thinking. It's not the president, not the wall, not politics, not your job, not the traffic. It's our thinking. It's our thinking. What? That's the question. What are you thinking? So what are you thinking? How are you processing? It's what you're thinking in response to those things. It's interesting. I went back and down memory lane again, and I just remember a conversation, and there's not a lot of conversations I remember in high school. Not that I was not able to remember those. They're high school, right? But this one, I remember walking down the hallway with this gal, and we're walking along, and I must have been like, I don't know, 10th, 11th grade. And I remember asking, hey, how's it going? How you doing? And we're walking, and here's what she said. I'll never forget it. She said, I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bad mood today. And I remember, here's why I remember this, because I remember in my mind thinking to myself, you might think this sounds really weird, but I remember thinking, what's a bad mood? And it's not like I wasn't capable of, like maybe having, I just didn't ever process. Like I never woke up saying, "Yeah, today I'm in a bad mood." I thought maybe that's an adult thing, and she's maybe more mature than I am. Maybe adults have bad. Maybe I'll grow into that. And I wish I had, I was a Christ follower at the time, and I wish I had the spiritual wherewithal to say, you know what, that's not, Actually, it's not a bad mood. There's some thinking errors going on. And let me point you to God's word. I didn't say that, though. But God's word says, Philippians 4, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And what? Then the God of peace will be with you. I wish I would have said that. Your feelings are determined by what you're thinking. So maybe there was something else going on in her heart and her life at home that was affecting that. Sometimes we have to filter out, I said this earlier, the noise, the electronics. I love this season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We'll do it every year. We'll do it in January. We'll do it again in August, preparing for the fall, just to clear the noise and prepare for the new season, the new year, to just hear Jesus. I need to hear you. I'm telling you, pastors can just, we fall prey to the busyness and the stuff and preparation and all. It's all good stuff. Yet, man, it'd be great to think about the church all the time. But you could literally dry up, shrivel up inside, because it just becomes busy work if the Spirit is not sort of leading and right? So the 21 days of prayer and fasting, we've been doing that. We've been praying, gathering here at 6:30. We'll do it again this next week. Invite you to come out. We've heard the announcement already. Worship together. In fact, that's a great just suggestion. When you wake up in the morning, get your Spotify. Get your Spotify on and just program some worship. Morning worship. How many do that? Maybe you already do that. You don't have to raise your hand. But maybe just instead of CNN, or Fox, like put Spotify, just program worship. If you don't know what Spotify is, ask somebody under 30, okay? And they're going to help you. But just program and just worship. And see how that just might begin to change those thoughts and how you feel. So everything begins with a thought. Our feelings are determined by our thinking. Third principle, our thoughts will determine ultimately our destiny. And that truth will either get you really excited and yeah, or it'll scare you. Because where you are today is a result of your thoughts. And where you will be next year at this time, your thoughts will determine what that looks like and where that will be. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. And that really, that's really talking about somebody who's just looking, there's a way that seems right. Somebody who's looking for sort of a shortcut to success, kind of an easy way. It's kind of a level path. That looks like that's the path of least resistance. I'm going down that way because that looks easier. Kind of man's reasoning sometimes. Getting on the right path to achieve our destiny has to do with our thinking. I love this quote. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a lifestyle. Sow a lifestyle, reap a what? Reap a destiny. I like how that begins with thought and it ends with destiny. That thinking. You are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you'll go tomorrow where your thoughts will take you. Again, that's, you know, to say those words, it's just kind of like psychology and positive. No, it's with God's word. This is long before, and I don't know the positive thinking gurus of the day, maybe like Tony Robinson, is that his name? Maybe others, guys that are out there. And they're great, awesome, great, positive's good. Positive's good. But Paul was around before those guys were. Listen to what he says in Romans. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. They think about, they meditate on, they process, they just worship, they get in the Word, or they have good conversation that just has to do with the things of God. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death of vision, leads to death of dream, leads to death of relationship. It just leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And let me tell you what, that's an uphill habit. That's not easy to do. It's easy to flip on the news. It's easy to start the day, same old, same old. What do you got going today? Same old, same old. Well, how'd that do for you last year? Same old, same old. I want to change that pattern. I want to grow in 2019. I want to grow. I want to become more like, I want to know the heart of Jesus more than I did at the end of 2018. Anybody with me? Yeah. It's pretty clear. When I let my mind focus on things above and I submit my thinking to Him, when I frame my thought with God at the center, I experience life and peace. I am the best version of Gary Paul Moreno when I'm focused on Jesus. Not when I'm trying to be like that guy or that dude or have the success that he does or look like Travis, you know, Bill. Just Jesus, what do you have for my life? Sorry, Trav, didn't mean to call you out. Our thoughts determine our destiny. It's crucial, critical. So you think about, you probably know this, 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. Just Google it. That's where I found it. Like, oh, really? 50 to 70,000? Okay, great. And there's a lot of, you know, speculation about it. And I don't want to get caught up in all of that. Really, it's not important. A lot, okay? There's a lot of thoughts that go on in your mind in a given day. A lot. And about 35,000 of those are decisions. A lot of decisions that you make in a day. Decisions. You got decisions to make the moment you wake up, the moment you get going in your day. In fact, there was a study a few years ago. National Academy of Sciences published this study involving 1,100 judicial rulings over a 10-month period. Watch. And that study found that 65% of parole judges granted freedom to the first prisoner who appeared before the court. It didn't matter what crime they had committed. And by the end of the morning session, the chance of parole dropped to near zero. Now, when those same judges returned from their lunch break, the first prisoner up for parole once again had a 65% chance of being granted their freedom. And you might guess what went on as the afternoon steadily wore on? The chances steadily declined of freedom as the afternoon got later. The question, of course, is why? And the authors of this study cite something called, here it is, decision fatigue. I don't want to make another decision. In fact, I had had a moment with my wife that yesterday I said those words. I said, I don't even want to think about that anymore. I can't think. I need you to take that thought out of my brain because I can't. There's like an explosion in my head. Really, I can't think that. This is decision fatigue, too much. Decision fatigue is real and the ramifications are big. With all of these thoughts, 35,000, sometimes the best defense to decision fatigue is what we do before the decision. Ready? Pre-decision. Well, this is getting deep now. Pre-decision are the decisions you make before you have to make the decision. Are you with me? Hang on, this gets like a roller coaster here. It's getting exciting. For example, how many of you are like me? The chances of you going to the gym increase dramatically if you pack your bag at night before you go to bed. I'm talking about you want to go to the gym early in the morning. Your chances of going increase dramatically when you pack your bag the night before. Anybody? Am I the only one? Yeah. Okay, four of us. Great. So four of you, come on up here. We're going to just have a conversation. I'm kidding. Pre-decision. The decision to go to the grocery store is easier when you make the pre-decision of what? Going with that's a pre-decision. I don't want to go to the store without a list. I don't want to freewheel down the aisle like, what do we need that? Especially you don't want to take your husband, right? Because I'm like the worst to take. If I'm hungry, like, we need that. Why don't we get more of those? The pre-decision of a list. The fast, if you're fasting, trying to abstain from some foods or whatever, goes better when you make the pre-decision to get whatever it is you're going without, get it out of the house. Just the fast goes better. I'm on a sugar. I'm like refined. I'm anything that's candy, Like, I'm just, no sugar, like sugared lattes, not doing it. Not the things. Now, when Patty and I have these conversations, well, that turns into, no, I'm not doing that right now. Okay, just, please. The decision to not spend what you don't have goes better when you make the pre-decision, maybe to cut the cards or create some auto deposits or whatever. So we just want to get ahead, so let's, some pre-decisions. Pre-decisions allow bandwidth for more important decisions. They help us determine our destiny. We see pre-decisions in the Bible. Joseph, the guy who was thrown in a pit and the guy who was, ended up in prison. Potiphar's house and his wife was trying, Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him. And Joseph was just trying to follow God. He'd ended up in prison again and just falsely accused. All this stuff happens. But he made a pre-decision that may have sounded something like this. I will always live to honor God and my king and my family. Pre-decision. Esther made a pre-decision. She had an opportunity to save her people. And it was risky because she had to do something that may have cost her life. And she said these words, "If I perish, I perish. The salvation of my people are greater than just my one life. If I perish, I perish." The predecision of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had to have made a predecision, right? Guys, listen, no matter what happens, we ain't bowing to no idol. We only bow to the living God. So the whole nation bows all together, and there's three dudes. Predecision. Paul, even though he was thrown in prison, had to make a predecision. Whatever persecution he faced, God was in it. He's going to use it. He says these words, "My chains are in Christ." He didn't want anybody around to think like, "Oh man, I can't believe this happening to me, man. Why is life so hard? I can't believe there's so much." No, "My chains are in Christ. I'm going through this. God's in it. He's going to carry me." Predecision. Why talk about thoughts and predecisions? Because we get tired. We wear out. I'm tired. You don't realize. I'm just tired of thinking. I'm tired of processing life right now. We get discouraged. Let me give you these in closing. I think predecisions will do a few things for us. Number one, I think they'll prepare you. They'll help prepare you. It's like packing the night before the trip. Predecisions prepare you for anything the enemy might throw your way or whatever life may throw at you. See, the day of the battle is a little bit too late to prepare. I wish I would have packed yesterday. No, so predecision prepares you. It also protects you. Predecisions protect you from temptation. Like we're trying to set new goals for 2019. Maybe sometimes just having having some accountability in our lives is good. That's a pre-decision. Having putting some software protection on our computers or something. We're not gonna just go solo on those things. We're not gonna put ourselves in situations where those are pre-decisions. Billy Graham used to, before he went to a city in a hotel, he'd have that TV removed because he just didn't want the temp. He made the pre-decision and it was removed from the room ahead of time. It's a pre-decision. They prepare you, they protect you, they sustain you. Pre-decisions sustain you in trials, in struggles. Pre-decision says this, "I'm not turning my back on God. It doesn't matter what happens. I'm sticking it out with God. He's with me." They mature you. Predecisions mature you. Mature you in your faith. You are here, so I'm preaching to the choir. You made a predecision. Somebody maybe laid some clothes out last night and said, "You know what, my family," you kind of took that stand up. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So we're going to be in church. That's what we do. We worship. Morenos go to church on Sunday. We worship Jesus. We give our lives to this because we believe he's worth it. Not only is he worth our worship and our praise, but just to be around people, the people of God, and celebrate what God is doing. The pre-decision we made when we got married 34 years ago that we'll always give. We'll always give no matter where we're at financially. We've had good times and some, you know, like, oh, Lord, but we just made a decision. It's never been, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that this month because, no, it's God, we're going to always give. That's a pre-decision. We want to live a life of generosity. Isaiah says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, God says in his word. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want to close with this declaration. I read this a year ago. I want to read it again. I heard this, first time I heard this was another pastor back east, Craig Groeschel. Some of you may have heard of him, and he read this statement, and I thought, man, I need a statement. These bold declarations that just say, this is how it's going to be. Sometimes it's not even so important that people around you hear the statement as much as your thoughts hear you saying the statement. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to hear myself declare these things. Here it is. And maybe you'll come up with some of your own verbiage for a statement of your own. Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify him. I love my wife and I'll lay down my life to serve her. My children and my grandchildren will love God and serve him with their whole hearts. I will encourage, train, equip, nurture, and empower them to do more for God's kingdom than they can possibly imagine. I'm growing closer to Jesus every day. I'm anointed, empowered, equipped, and called to reach people far from God. My thoughts, my words, and imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I wake up with purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. I am resourced by the King of Kings, Jehovah Jireh. I love people and believe the best about others. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I mean, we just need to say that. Christ in me is greater than the wrong desires in me. I am anointed, creative, innovative, focused, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I'm a worshiper and a worship leader. I will use that gift to encourage the people that I pastor to live lives of worship to the Lord. I equip leaders. It's not something I do, it's who I am. I get to live my dream today and pastor a church in Liberty Lake that will not only impact this city, but I believe God wants to reach this region and the world. I bring my best and then some. It's what I bring after I do my best that's making the biggest difference. The world will be better. The world will be different and better because I served Jesus today. I am a servant of the Most High God. How many know we just need to make a statement? Like, I'm not going to settle for mediocre living. I'm telling you, maybe you're like me. 2019 is maybe it's already kind of kicking you in the rear a little bit. Like, man, just like a tidal wave. We need to make a declaration. Lord, I want you to have my thoughts. In fact, would you just bow your heads with me? I want us to pray. We have to close. Maybe you're here and you would say, hey, Pastor Gary, would you, in your closing prayer, would you pray for me? I need to surrender my thoughts to the Lord. I mean, I have some decision fatigue. And I need God to renew my thoughts. that's you, I'm not going to ask you to stand or come forward. Just lift your hand up. I want to remember you and pray for you in this closing prayer. Yeah. I just need my thoughts renewed. Yeah. I want to ask this question. Maybe the best thought for you, and in fact, I'll tell you it is, if you've never crossed the line of faith, if you've never given your heart, dedicated your life to Jesus, that's the best decision you could ever make. And just get on that journey of faith with God. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Stop trying to do it in your own power. And you'd say, Pastor Gary, I want to dedicate my life to Jesus. I'm going to make that decision today to follow and serve Jesus with my whole heart, my whole life. Would you include me in your prayer today? Would you pray for me? Again, just lift your hand up, put it right back down. I want to include you in this prayer all over this place. Come on. Let today be your day. Why not? Why not? Why not? Let today be your day. Anybody? Amen. Thank you. Just pray this prayer with me in your heart. Jesus, I give you my thoughts. I give you my heart, my mind. I give you my life. This is an all-in proposition, Lord. I want you to have all of me. I want to serve you. I want to give you the best of my days. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my selfishness, Lord. Forgive me of thinking errors, Lord. Sometimes those thinking errors were placed there circumstantially. I get that. And we're having to fight through some brokenness in our childhood. That I pray, God, for people that are in that spot right now, that they would find the loving, Lord, people around them, pastors, leaders, counselors, God, that can just help them unpack that so they can see you clearly and think clearly. God, thank you for legacy. Thank you for this church. God, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for all that you're doing in this place. We dedicate our thoughts to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.